This is Central Time. A punishing winter storm this week knocked out multiple energy resources for the state of Texas. Millions lost power, hundreds of thousands still without power now, and many have been on boil water orders as well. The state's power grid is uncommon in the U.S. It's privatized, not under federal regulation, and it's cut off from other states' grids for the most part. We're going to take a look at what went wrong and what lessons we might be able to take away from Texas when we're looking at power in Wisconsin and elsewhere. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how our power grids work, the different energy sources, what it takes to manage an electrical system, especially in a crisis like this big, unusual snowstorm in Texas? Have you experienced a long-term power outage like what we're seeing in Texas? Are you listening to us from there right now or some of the other affected states? Love to hear your firsthand account. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lena Rold is an assistant professor of electrical and computer engineering and a Granger Institute fellow in the UW-Madison College of Engineering. She works on modeling and optimizing energy systems as well as planning for uncertain events and large-scale outages. That's what we got here. Lena, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hello. Hey. And yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, Lena, online, I keep seeing people with a lot of really simple answers to what's going on in Texas. It looks like the story's a little more complicated than that. What stands out to you about what's gone wrong in Texas?
So I think what we can say is just that there are certain things here that are sort of predictable. You know, it's very cold, which means that we are going to have a really high demand for electricity and you know, natural gas for heating. But then on the other hand, what is very unusual is just how cold it is. And also how the cold has led to very widespread generation outages. So we've seen outages of nuclear power plants, of coal power plants, of natural gas power plants, of wind turbines. And so essentially there's this like one cause, the very cold weather that has, you know, spiked demand and at the same time reduced the access of generation. And so the question that really arises is, why did that happen? Why did so many generators sort of go offline and are not able to generate power? And so I think that is kind of the core question that we are sort of starting to see everyone try and answer, you know, like what went wrong? Why did we lose all this generation capacity?
Well, one question I've seen come up a lot is, okay, this, as you say, this bad a winter storm is an outlier, not common for Texas. How much, when you're designing an energy system, I guess, do you need to prepare for that outlier event, especially in this era of climate change where the last century's weather rules might not apply anymore?
Exactly. So I think that is really also cutting to the core of this problem, right? I mean, it's pretty predictable what you could do to prevent this. You could, you know, make sure that generators are better prepared for colder weather. You could take measures like that. You could, I mean, try and do things in the natural gas system in order to ensure that natural gas is more readily available, not only for heating, but also for gas generation, because that has been a major problem, is that the generators are not able to get enough gas, partially because of problems in the supply chain, but also because other people are using it for heating. And so it's kind of possible to fix technically, but it's going to be really expensive. And so as we're looking at this, this really falls into this bucket of low probability, high impact events. And it becomes this question of, you know, it's a low probability event that it should get so cold, but the impacts are so enormous. Does that mean that we have to plan for it? And if you have to plan for this kind of very low probability event, what other kind of low probability events should we be planning for? Like what steps do we take? And how do we use, you know, the resources that we have available in order to protect ourselves the best in the future? And these are really kind of open questions. And you know, like we need to be quite imaginative in thinking about for the future as climate change is going to evolve, what are the things that we are maybe going to see more of, and what are the things that we have not yet seen that we should be preparing for? So I think that is kind of some of the questions that arise in my mind when I'm looking at this.
We are talking about the energy situation in Texas, looking at the blackouts there, the winter weather, and the energy grid. Lena Rold is with us, assistant professor of electrical and computer engineering at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about Texas and power grids with Lena Rold, assistant professor of electrical and computer engineering in the UW-Madison College of Engineering. One culprit that's been pointed to by many Texas politicians, including the governor there, renewable energy sources, wind turbines and solar in the state. I want to give a listen to Governor Greg Abbott of Texas speaking with Fox News host Sean Hannity this week.
Sean, this shows how the Green New Deal would be a deadly deal for the United States of America. Texas is blessed with multiple sources of energy, such as natural gas and oil and nuclear, as well as solar and wind. But you saw from what Trace said, and that is our wind and our solar got shut down, and they were collectively more than 10% of our power grid. And that thrust Texas into a situation where it was lacking power in a statewide basis, that was power that was spread out by that ERCOT organization that you were talking about. As a result, it just shows that fossil fuel is necessary for the state of Texas, as well as other states, to make sure that we will be able to heat our homes in the wintertime and cool our homes in the summertime.
And Lena, this has been an argument we've seen spreading around a lot online. But as you were saying earlier, all sources of power pretty much were hit by the cold, including those fossil fuel sources the Texas governor was talking about, right?
Right. Yeah. So, and I think actually the Texas governor has been walking back some of his comments after that and also pointed out that, yes, that was also part of the problem, the other sources of energy. It's kind of indications that, you know, the natural gas generation capacity that was outage was substantially larger than the number of wind turbines that went out. This is really not a renewable energy problem. This is an extreme cold problem. And it's a problem of extreme cold where the power generation facilities have not been prepared and weatherized in order to be able to withstand this kind of weather. And that goes across all different kind of generation sources. So definitely not a renewable energy problem.
Let's bring on a caller. Mark is with us in Neenah. Mark, hello. Mark, are you there? I'm just hearing some background noise. Mark wanted to bring up the question of Texas, this unique situation where the grid is isolated in many ways from the rest of the country. Do you know what the reasoning is for that, Lena? And is that limiting the ability to borrow power, I guess, from other states?
Yes. So that is a very, very important part of this crisis as well in Texas and why Texas is getting hit so hard. And so Texas does have, there are three main power grids in the U.S. There is the Eastern Interconnect and there's the Western Interconnect, and then there is Texas. And so Texas is by far the smallest of those electric grids. And they have very small interconnection to the rest of the country. And so Texas has wanted to have energy independence and being able to regulate their energy industry quite independently. And that has, that gives them some freedoms that other states have not had. But in this situation, they really, when the whole area in Texas is suddenly facing this very cold temperatures, they are not able to rely on imports from adjacent areas like the other regions in the same way that other parts of the country would do. So, for example, here in Wisconsin, we are interconnected with all of the states around us. And if we have a problem with electricity generation here, we are able to get energy also from out of state. And so in that way, when you have larger areas that are interconnected, you are able to rely, provide much more mutual support in such extreme situations as what we are seeing right now.
Let's stay here in Wisconsin now. Obviously, I think it's safe to say we're pretty ready for cold weather. Our power stayed on through really cold weather over the last few weeks. What worries you in Wisconsin? What vulnerabilities should we be thinking about? What lessons might we still be taking from the past?
So what worries me in Wisconsin? Well, we are clearly good at cold weather. But still, I mean, we're also not immune to it. So this is something that we need to, you know, keep thinking about. I mean, just a couple of years ago, we had also a polar vortex where we saw like big temperature swings. And it is, of course, also the case that here that puts a lot of strain on the energy system. It is possible to, imagine situations where, maybe multiple possible sources of strain getting put on the grid at the same time. Like, for example, there is indications that if you have very prolonged cold scenarios, that could actually lead to, for example, lower availability of wind, which could, you know, reduce the available wind generation. And so there's definitely a need for us to really think about what those scenarios would look like in the future. Are we going to see, increased rainfalls? What is that going to mean for the grid? Are we going to see more droughts or higher temperatures? And so I think that we need to think out of the box in terms of historical scenarios and really get a little bit imaginative in terms of, you know, what is it that could happen here in Wisconsin? Because probably the people in Texas had not really foreseen or thought that they were going to find themselves in such cold weather. So we need to kind of open our eyes and think a little more widely about the possible scenarios that could happen in the future.
Now, in Texas, they have this this commission that keeps that's all over the news now. Who are the deciders in Wisconsin? Who is in charge of saying, okay, here are the possible threats to our grid and we need to take action?
So the system operator, the Midwest Independent System Operator, MISO, is the operator of the grid in Wisconsin. So they are the equivalent of there's a company called ERCOT in Texas who is playing a similar role. And so MISO is in charge of, they run a lot of scenarios and trying to understand and predict how in the future both the available generation is going to change and also the demand for electricity. So they are definitely also people who are in charge of assessing what we call resource adequacy in the grid. And then, of course, there's an important role here to play for regulators, both at the state level and also at the federal level, in order to make sure that that everyone puts rules in place in terms of, you know, making sure that power generation stations are ready for different kinds of weather scenarios. But sort of just to kind of get back to the system operators, which often have to do the work of trying to understand, you know, what are those scenarios and what are the implications of those scenarios, both on the grid, but also beyond the grid. You mentioned people having to boil their water, you know, many of the systems that we use day to day rely on electricity. These entities are also, you know, they have to rethink these days how they do planning. And that is both because they are seeing a lot more renewable energy on the grid, but also because the weather is changing and there is these kind of extreme scenarios that are coming out and that might become more frequent in the future. There's really a lot of work that is ongoing in that arena in terms of trying to understand better what scenarios to plan for and how to build, you know, an economically efficient safe and reliable grid.
Lena, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Lena Rold is an assistant professor of electrical and computer engineering and a Granger Institute fellow in the UW-Madison College of Engineering. We talked to her about the problems that contributed to the massive power outages in Texas this week and lessons we can learn here in Wisconsin. Coming up after the news, COVID led people to buy lots of practical things, but there's been a lot of emotional spending, too. A Wisconsin personal finance writer tells us why our emotions can steer our spending decisions and how we can avoid big mistakes along the way.